This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at World Sweeper, and I have on the phone with me a contractor who we'll just call Dave, and he is a contractor in the south, southern part of the country, and he has been pretty successful with getting money from U.S. maintenance, and so we're going to talk about that, as well as what he's seen on this new service channel that's coming up. So, Dave, not your real name. Tell me what you've done with U.S. maintenance, or you know what they owed you, the services you provided, and then how you've gone about getting some money out of them.
Well, we were at the top of it. We were up to $30,000+ that they owed us because they were not in our market but for 3 months. So, and we didn't take on but just few super centers and some other properties that they have. Biggest thing with them was we submitted a price, they submitted a counter offer, and their counter offer was 50 to 60% less than what we had originally submitted. And basically, I know what I've got to have to run a successful business. And when they came back with a counter offer that was barely covered my costs, I walked away from it. I said, thanks, but no thanks, and walked away.
Now, did they give any kind of a reason why they thought you should take a counter offer rather than what you had actually agreed to be paid?
Well, their logic behind that was the parking lot was so many square feet, and that's what they had based their bid off of. Well, when I divided their counter offer by the number of square feet that they had told me was in the parking lot, it was less than a penny a foot. I mean, it was so far below a penny that, you know, there was no way you could do it. I mean, it broke down to point and then about eight numbers behind it. And they were looking at square foot. I told them, I said, square foot does not mean nothing to me. I said, I've got obstacles, barriers, traffic, a whole list of things that I look at. I said, a 10,000 square foot parking lot may cost more to sweep than 100,000 square foot. I said, it all depends on what obstacles are in your way. And they said, well, this is our formula. This is what we use. And I said, well, I said, we're not doing it. And we walked away. And they had 3 days of no service on these stores. Some of them were stores that we had cleaned in the past. Managers calling us, want to know what's going on, why are we not showing up? And I said, well, USM is the contract holder. And I said, they sent us a counter offer, and we can't do it. And some of the managers asked, how much? And they said, well, that's less than what we paid you to start with. So we stood our ground, got what we wanted, and, you know, it took them 3 days to come around and say, all right, we'll take your price. We've got to get these stores cleaned.
So then, after that, you cleaned the stores and at the price that you had agreed on. And at some point then, USM was out with Walmart, and then your task is to get paid by them. Now, how has that shaken out for you? I know contractors around the country have been voicing that they're not getting paid, and they have been asked to just take some fraction of the amount that they're owed, and some are caving into that because they need to make their payments and they need the money. You, Dave, have been successful at getting paid, and now you're still owed some of the money, but what have you done to be able to get USM to pay invoices?
Well, the biggest thing is call them and email them every week. My service rep or service manager with them, I call and email them weekly, sometimes twice a week, depending on what my mood is. But you've got to stay on them. You can't ease up off of them. their hope, that's exactly what they're hoping for, is that the sweeping industry as a whole will get disgusted with it and take pennies on the dollar. And we can't afford that. I mean, some parts of the country, sweeping doesn't even pay enough to even worry about getting into. And yet they're trying to drive down our costs even more.
So when you talk to them, are they saying anything in particular? Are they trying to get you to take less money? Are they giving reasons why they haven't paid? Your contract spells out the time frame that they're supposed to pay you in, and my guess is that they're behind schedule on some of their payments. Is that, are they, and have they given any reasons why they aren't paying on time?
Yes. They are saying paperwork is not correct. They didn't have the paperwork. They've lost it, misplaced it. Every excuse under the sun. And the biggest thing I found in sending your paperwork in is don't fax it, email it. Because some of the signatures or store stamps come in rather weak on a fax, and on a email they come in a lot clearer.
The other thing is that you have a record of an email being sent. And
correct.
That's irrefutable, whereas a fax, they could say they didn't get the fax or you didn't send it and imply that you didn't send it. Where with an email, you can go back later if you have to go to court and show your email record of it going out. And actually, I would certainly think subpoena their email record coming in. So definitely email is a better way to go. Have
and
you?
Then I
go ahead.
Also, do like the copyright. I email a copy to myself.
That makes sense too. You bet.
Because you're dealing with a group that is notorious in their business practices. So you have to dot every I, cross every T.
Well, there's no question that they're looking for reasons not to pay, and I've heard from many contractors that they're being told that the paperwork didn't come through, they lost the paperwork, that the signature wasn't clear, and so forth. And if you haven't kept all that stuff on file, that makes it extraordinarily difficult to get paid because, like you say, they are trying anything, they appear to be trying anything they can to get out from under the payment.
And another thing I've done is to cut down on confusion and paperwork not being filled out correctly. Even though, yes, it costs more to do it this way, some contractors let their drivers or route supervisor handle that at night. Well, according to the contract, you have to go out and meet these managers. And so I personally went out, met them, got them signed, and to top it off, I took my own ink pen with me that I knew would write real dark so that I wouldn't have a problem with faint signatures or stamp pads that didn't have enough ink. I walked in with my paperwork, a stamp pad, and an ink pen set up for them.
Right, and
I don't want any excuse of we can't read this or we can't read that.
Yeah, I would recommend actually a particular brand with that is a Pentel rolling writer in a medium. And they give a nice solid signature. It's a medium width and it scans well. So Pentel, P-E-N-T-E-L, is actually a brand of pen or something similar. But check it out at the store, and that's an excellent idea. For ongoing, too, for any place that you have to have things signed, have a nice medium width pen that's in black, not blue, not red, not green, that can be done. Any of the other kind of tips that you could provide about dealing with your manager?
Well, I can't stress it enough. You've got to stay on top of them. Calling them weekly, twice a week. Let them know that you're still there and that you haven't forgotten. They're going to tell you, well, we've sent the paperwork up, or it's in the pipeline, or any number of sayings. And I just told them, I said, I held up my end of the contract. It's time for you to step up and hold up yours. Your terms were 45 days, and that's what I agree. That's what we both agreed to, and y'all need to step up and hold up your end of the deal. They're going to get mad at, tired of hearing from you, but, leave a voicemail, whatever you got to do. We as an industry have got to stand together. We cannot, and I know there are contractors that are hurting right now with the economy, but this is not the time to cut and run and say, all right, guys, just give me what you want to. I need some money. I've got to make a truck payment.
Well, I would say in here, too, to email them. If you're leaving a voicemail for them, do one of two things. Either follow that up with an email so that you have an electronic trail of how many times you've contacted them, or keep a register that talks about every time that you have called them, that you left a voicemail. Don't leave it up to your word against theirs ultimately about when that happened. My understanding of the court system, and I am not an attorney licensed to practice law in any state, so check with your attorney, but my understanding is that if you keep a record and date it and keep an ongoing record, that is going to be allowable in court. And it will certainly bolster your case for how many times you contacted them and what was said. So, briefly put down what was said in your voicemail and then retain that for your records in the event that you have an eventual court date or need the documentation for some other purpose. If you have questions or comments about this audio interview, please direct them to editor@worldsweeper.com. You may also reach us toll-free by calling us at 1-866-635-2205.